Hey, hey, now welcome. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. And you know what? We have been talking about a new you, a new season, a new opportunity. And no matter what time of year it is, guess what? It is relevant because every single day we get to make a new choice. We get to make new decisions about how we're going to show up and who we are going to be. And, you know, I have a very special guest coming on a bit later, but I want you to understand something. I know that there's a lot happening, and I know that there are a lot of people who are struggling, and I know that you may feel like giving up. I know that you may feel like nothing you have done has brought you to where it is that you think you're supposed to be. I know you may be feeling discouraged. I know you may be feeling as if you have been left behind, but I am going to tell you, you might just be in the home stretch. You might just be in that last zone where you're about to cross over into everything that you've been thinking, everything that you've been believing, and everything that you've been hoping for. And understand that it comes in levels. So when I crossed out of living from check to Monday, and crossed into at least having enough money to make it to the end of the month. Listen, that was a huge thing. I wasn't where I wanted to be, but I wasn't where I used to be. And I think right now we are in a season where we need to remember just how special we are, who we are, and whose we are. First of all, you have a gift. God has given you something that only you can do. God has given you something that is not just going to help you elevate and transform, but it's going to help somebody else on this earth. Somebody else, someplace needs what it is that you have to offer. So yes, you are special. The next thing is who you are. You are special. You are anointed. You may have made some mistakes, but everyone has. Anybody who has never made a mistake, raise your hand. I don't think anybody's going to raise their hand, but who you are. Are you strong? Are you powerful? Are you anointed? Are you appointed? And then whose you are, whose you are. You are a child of the King. Yes, you belong to somebody and someone has their eye on you. So I am just saying, while we are talking about this new you, because guess what? Here's what happens at the beginning of everything, at the beginning of the new year, at the beginning of Black History Month, at the beginning of the summer, at the beginning of anything, no matter what it is, we can always find a way to settle in and it doesn't feel so new anymore. But yes, this is the season of the new you. This is the season of the new opportunity. This is the season of the new idea. So I want you to hold on. I don't want you to give up. I want you to, if you got to cry, go on and cry it out. And I'm speaking from my own experience. In 2019, many of you know, I came back into the world of radio after having been gone for well over a decade and never thought that I would ever do this again. Not only did I start to do the radio show because my wonderful sister, Melody Spann Cooper, asked me to, and I don't know if you know her, but you can't tell her no. So I wasn't going to tell her no. I just wasn't going to do that. I was just going to have to figure it out and work it out. And to God be the glory, I have. But it wasn't something that was on my radar. In addition to that, I had no intention on ever going back into teaching people one-on-one. You know, I was on the Steve Harvey Show. I'm on all these other things. And so that's great. But I had no intention of engaging in transactions individually by helping anyone do anything except what I was already doing in the entertainment field. And so that year, things got rough. They weren't rough financially. They weren't rough. There was nothing going on in my marriage or my family, but it was just a rough year. And I knew for many people that I knew, and I knew that I had to shift and do something different. But let me tell you, before I did it, I cried. Before I created New Wealth University, I cried. I didn't want to do it. All of the thoughts that were in my head about how much work it was going to take and how it was going to change my life so significantly and so on. And guess what? What I did not realize is that I was in the home stretch. I was in the zone, the end zone. I was in that space where if you do this and if you cross this line, you are never going to go back. If you do this and if you cross this line, it is going to catapult not just you, but so many other people to another level. And so I was obedient to the things in my own head that I didn't want to do, but I knew I had to do them. Is there something that you know you have to do, but you haven't done it yet? Is there something that you know you have to accomplish, but you have not pressed go? Is there something that you know you have to complete and you stopped midway, halfway, three quarters of the way, or you started and didn't stop before you even got out the door? There's something that you have to do, because there was something I had to do. And once I did that something, guess what happened? The pandemic came. And everybody was at home. And I had been teaching and preaching how to start a home-based business, why you need a home-based business, the tax deductions, all the benefits, being an entrepreneur. Everybody's an entrepreneur. I don't care if you're a doctor, lawyer, or the chief of your tribe. Guess what? You still need a home-based business. And I had been saying it so long that I almost got tired of listening to it myself. And then the pandemic came. And then everybody needed a home-based business. And then everybody was sitting and waiting. And guess what? Everything exploded, not just for me, for the businesses, for other people. We were able to help children stay in school. I shouldn't say children. We were able to help young people stay in school whose parents had lost their jobs. And guess what? We were blessed to be a blessing. And so are you. So now is not the time to give up. Now was not the time to throw the towel in. Now was not the time to say, you know what? It's over. Now it is just your beginning. It's the beginning of your new you, your new season, and it starts right now. I want you to go to asklynn.org. We have to take a break. This is WVON, but you know what? We'll be right back. And of course, you know, I have a special guest. I'll be right back.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey, now welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the Talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. We are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. And so, yes, I'm excited. We are in a new season. There is a new reason. There are new opportunities. And guess what? It is not over until you win, as my big brother Les Brown would say. You cannot fail until you quit, as my big brother Russell Simmons would say. And guess what? You have to speak what you seek until you see what you say. And I said that one. Okay, so we are not going to continue to let money be the thing that holds us back. We are not going to continue to let money be the thing that keeps us from living our dreams, that keeps us from achieving our goals, that keeps us depressed, down and out, beat up, and turned all upside down. We are not going to do it, okay? There's always an opportunity for you to put one foot in front of the other and keep moving towards the dream and the vision that you see for yourself. So let me just say this. So I started the Millionaires Before 30 Club to give our young people an opportunity to get it right the first time. If I knew then what I know now, I know I would already be a billionaire. I already know I would be, right? And there's a recent article that came out. During the pandemic, there were 493 new billionaires made. I've been copying this post. I said, coming out of the pandemic, you will either be a millionaire, a billionaire, or a witness. Are you going to watch it? Or are you going to participate in becoming it? And a billionaire may seem like it's a far-stretched number, but really, it's a numbers game. And there are people who understand how to make numbers work for them. Because once, if you have a penny, you get 100 of them, you have a dollar. You get 100 of those, you have $100. You get 100 of those, you have, see, it just keeps going on and on and on and on. So this is about us giving our young people an opportunity. Now, if you're almost 30 and you want to be a millionaire before 30, join the club anyway, because you can be one before you're 40. If you're over 40 and you want to be one by 50, the whole concept is that you can do it if you focus your mind and your energy and your resources on it. It can be done for you. So I want to just give you a couple of different challenges. We're going to talk about a couple of different challenges. And then I want you to go to asklynn.org. And I want you to tell me which challenge you are planning to do. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple of challenges. And then I'm going to tell you, to go to asklynn.org and then tell me which challenge are you going to do. The first challenge is the $1 challenge. It's the $1 challenge. Okay. I want you to write that down. It's the $1 challenge. Now, let me tell you how this challenge works. You put $1 in the bank in week one. You put $2 in the bank in week two. You put $3 in the bank in week three. This is going to be in a savings account on the other side of town with no debit card attached to it. You cannot transfer the money. You can't. You'd have to go through some stuff to get to the money. Okay. So I have accounts like that. I have accounts that are not connected to my personal checking account that I'm using every day. I have accounts that are not connected to my business account that I'm using for bills and things. I have accounts that are at a whole different bank that I had to set up separately that have no debit card attached to them. And of course, yes, I could get the money if I needed it in an emergency, but the whole idea is it's not going to be a transfer situation. It's not going to be the overdraft account, okay? It's not going to be the account where you pull the money from and you don't even realize it's gone, okay? So week one, $1. Week two, $2. Week three, $3. Week four, $4. And you just keep going. Okay. So every single week, add $1. Just do that. By week 52, you will have placed in week 52, you're going to put $52 in the bank. At the end of the year, you will have $1,378 saved in the bank. Now, here's the deal. If you put that money and keep it in a regular bank, then you'll be lucky if you earn $10 in interest. All right. So I want to teach you what to then do with that $1,378, because if somewhere along the way, once you get $300 and you choose the right investments and then you make that money grow and you keep on adding to it, what's going to start to happen is your money is going to work harder for you than you can ever work for it. Your money will work harder for you than you can ever work for it. So let me tell you what happens to $1,378 if you were to divide that amount by 12 and act as if you were going to put in an equal amount every single month. Okay. Let me tell you what would happen to that money. Now, once again, if you leave the money in the bank for a year, you'll be lucky if you have $10 in interest. You'll be lucky if that's the case. All right. Because I want you to do the math. I'm going to take $1,378. And if I multiply that times 1%, then I just earn $13.78. That's not a lot, right? So we get discouraged and we don't want to continue and we don't want to move forward. But what if that money was earning 10%? All right. So now you've got $1,378 and it's earning interest at a rate of 10%. You just now earned $137.80. Okay. Not too much, right? That's okay. But what if you chose the right investments and let's say the money was earning 50%. Okay. So $1,378 and it was earning 50%. And in just 1 year, now you've earned $689. So you put in $1,378 and you then put that money in the right investments that you choose with a financial advisor. To be clear, I am not a financial advisor. I had all those licenses. I let them go. I am a financial coach. But once you join the Millionaire Before 30 Club and I help you with your mindset and teach you the patterns that you need to teach to become wealthy, then yes, we'll sit you with someone who can help you discover your risk profile, as well as the investments that match your risk profile. Now, I'm going to give you something. I'm telling you the truth. 2 years ago, I just took $10,000 and I put it in an account. And I said, I'm not even going to worry about it. I chose the right mix of investments. It's got some stocks, some bonds. It's got more stocks than bonds. That $10,000 is now $14,700. Can you imagine just putting some money someplace and it grows like that? And that grew just at that pace because I didn't add anything to it. So this is about you getting to the next level. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. We have to take a break. For news, traffic, and weather, go to asklynn.org. Tell me what you're looking for, and I'll give you the answers. We'll be right back.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. The harvest is here. The time is now. This is the season of reaping, but you got to sow something if you want to reap. And I know that while you are sowing, sometimes we get tired. But I have been saying, let's wait on God. Let's wait on God with integrity. Let's wait on God and appreciate the things that He has given to us. Let's wait on God and not lie our way through the process. Let's wait on God and not try to jump in line ahead of our time. And let's wait on God with gratitude. But there are some things I know that you are waiting for. Let's start with your money. You are waiting for your money to get serious. Because right now, that money is funny and that change is strange. You know, that money is not lasting. They talking about living from check to check. No, you living from check to Monday. You all know I talk about this. You get paid on Friday. You kick it on the weekend. You pay on your past due bills. And by Monday, you're broke. And you know what? You are sick and tired of this. You're tired of it. I was tired of it. I thought I would live my whole entire life broke. I thought I would live my whole entire life struggling. I thought I would live my whole entire life and never have enough. That's because I wasn't waiting on God. You see, when our money is funny and our change is strange and we're not able to do the things that we want to do because we can't afford them, sometimes we go ahead of God and we buy the stuff anyway. We buy the stuff anyway. I talk a lot about when my husband and I bought our first home. Yes, it was a blessing to get approved for a mortgage and buy that house. It was our first little house in Summit, Illinois. It was $90-something thousand. The sellers paid the closing costs. They paid 6% towards the closing costs. We scraped up every single dime we had. Scraped up every single dime we had. Got in the house, couldn't afford any furniture. Couldn't afford to do the things that I needed, that I wanted to do in the house. So I went ahead of God. And even though I got approved for the mortgage, or my husband got we got approved for the mortgage, we really were not ready, right? My money, I had not learned yet how to save. I had not learned yet how to live below my means. I had not learned yet how to delay gratification. I had not learned that I needed to stop trying to impress people and keep up with the Joneses. So what did I do? I got in the house and I pretended that I had everything that you know, you want to impress people. You want to invite your family over. So I was spending money on Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving dinners and, you know, all of those things. And then I started making more money. But the more money I was making, the more money I was spending, right? So while you're waiting on God to help you get to the next level financially, ask yourself, what are you doing right now with the money that He's given you? Okay? Because here's the deal. There is no reason to run out of money. Not completely. Anyway, there's no reason to run out of money. Now, do not get me wrong. I know that there are times when you get your check and that entire check has to go towards bills because something is going to get cut off. There's a light bill or gas bill or, you know, the car note or something like that. But you knew that was coming. That's not a surprise. We know those bills are coming. That's not a surprise. But what do we do anyway? Our friends, our colleagues want to go out to eat lunchtime at work. So we go even though we don't have the money. They want to go out afterwards. So you go, but even though you don't have any money. And yes, you can get your money back if it's a business meeting or a business meal for your home-based business. But some of us don't even have any money to spend to get back. Okay? We don't have the money yet to spend to get it back. So while we are waiting on God and we're asking him to bless us with more money so we can do the things that we want to do, the things that we think we deserve, then let's just be very mindful. Remember, I said we got to take care of the things that he has already given us, even if we don't like it. You don't like that little bit of money? Go get some more. Work two jobs, three jobs, whatever you have to do. When I was in my 20s, it was like, my name is Lenny and I got plenty, okay? I had 52 jobs. Now, I was running nowhere fast. It was like being on a treadmill, running and you're not going anywhere. Yes, that was definitely the truth. But the point is, I did not quit. Now, unfortunately for me, I was feeding my spending addiction. So the more money I made, I was spending even more than that. Okay, so we've got to be careful about that as well. Got to be careful about what we're doing. I'm just going to repeat this very quickly. The 10, 10, 30, 50. If you are waiting on God and you're trying to get a financial breakthrough, the first 10% you tithe, the next 10% you save, 30% is cash on a separate debit card for your incidentals. Okay, put that cash on a separate debit card, separate from your checking account with your bills, and have that money available so you can avoid a spending addiction, which is what you have when you go to the grocery store for toothpaste and walk out with $179.47 worth of stuff you don't need. You all have heard me say that 10 million times, but sometimes we need a reminder. I've needed a reminder. Now, I haven't spent more money than I make, but since we started opening up in the pandemic, I'm going out spending money. I'm like, oh no, slow down, gym shoe. I am about to stay my booty in this house. Yes, my butt. I'm going to stay in this house and I'm going to eat what is here in this house. We're going to cook the food here. Okay. Because the money doesn't talk. Some say money talks, but I say money walks away from you quietly and you don't know where it went. So if your money is funny, your change is strange, you're waiting on God, then treat that money the right way. Take care of it. Do not run ahead of yourself. And I've often said this as well, is the devil your accountant, right? Because when it's time to tithe, some of us start thinking of everything else we got to do with that money. Okay. But when we go out and spend some money that we know we're not supposed to spend on stuff that we know that we don't need, we've got more excuses than a man going to jail. Okay. I mean, we're actually going out and getting all of that stuff and we're telling ourselves I deserve it and this, that, and the other. And yes, you may deserve it, but do not run so far ahead of yourself with your money and you're waiting on God to bless you. And God is waiting on you to bless yourself with some discipline. Yes, I've been there, done it. Okay. So while we're waiting on God, we're waiting on our money. We might also be waiting on a man. Okay. Ladies out there, you're waiting on your man. And if you're a man, you're waiting on your mistress or whatever we want to call your missus. All right. How did you treat the last person in your life? How do you treat the people who are in your life right now? So if you're waiting on that significant other, that man or that missus, if you're waiting, so we talked about money, now we're on the man or the missus, you've been waiting on that person, but how are you treating yourself? Do you love yourself? While you're waiting on someone to love you, do you love yourself? While you're waiting on someone to come and rescue you, have you rescued yourself? Are you showing yourself self-care and self-love? Are you setting boundaries? I was in a relationship in my late teens, early 20s that almost took me out of here. It was my first time, just being in a relationship in that way. And I was just so smitten. And when it didn't work out, I didn't know what to do with myself. And I did not think I was going to make it. But there is a God. I waited on God. And during that time, while I was waiting on God, I was getting myself together. I was cute. My hair was made up. I was working two or three jobs. I was going to school. I was getting straight A's. And I set boundaries for the future person who I was going to date. If you did not call when you said you would, guess what? There was never going to be a conversation again. If you said you were picking me up for a date and you were late and you did not let me know ahead of time, then there was no date. And when I met my husband, Demetrius, And I knew I liked him when I first saw it, but, you know, I couldn't tell him that. I had to play, you know, a little, I couldn't just be too happy about it, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he asked me my name, Lynn, and then he asked me what was my last name. I said, that's enough. You don't need to know anything else right now. So I set boundaries. And then I said the number one thing. I said to him, now listen, Buster, if Grandma B don't like you, you're going to be history, okay? So I put a village around me to help me make the right decision in a mate, right? So you're waiting on your money. You're waiting on your mate. And the last person that I was with before Demetrius, Grandma B told me she didn't like him. And I ignored her. She said he wasn't right. And guess what? He wasn't. Broke my heart in half. But guess what? I let him do it. So what I also did, see, when you're waiting on God, you can't be bitter about what happened before. I wasn't bitter and I was not afraid to love again. You cannot be afraid to love again if you are waiting. Your energy, what do you want? Do you want someone to love you? You want someone to sacrifice for you? You want someone to be there for you during tough times and happy times? Then be that. You be that. So the interesting thing about Demetrius and I, when we met, he wanted to love me. I wanted to love him just as much as he wanted to love me. I wanted him to have a good woman. I wanted him to be able to, you know, walk proudly and say that he had this woman, the love of his life, and so on and so forth. I wanted that for him. So I treated him the way I wanted to be treated, right? So why are you waiting on God? And you're waiting on that relationship, you're waiting on that mate, you're waiting on that man or that missus, then make sure you are treating yourself the way you'd want someone to treat you. And when they come into your life, then treat them well. If the person is dishonest, then set the boundaries, cut it off. But don't treat them like they stole something, they haven't done anything, because you don't trust anybody. Because usually when you don't trust other people, it's because you don't trust yourself. That's usually it. You don't trust yourself to say no. You don't trust yourself not to break down. You don't trust yourself to set boundaries. You don't trust yourself. So because I trust myself, everybody gets the benefit of the doubt. Everybody gets the benefit of the doubt. And if I think there's something wrong with you and I choose to interact with you anyway, I'll say to you, listen, I think you're kind of shady. And these are the reasons why. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to explain yourself, because communication is key. When you don't communicate, you are left to make your own decisions about what is going on or what happened. And it's usually wrong. You have to come together and communicate. So yes, we are waiting on God. We're waiting on God for our money. We're waiting on God for that mate. And you know what? If you don't know what to do, if you need some help, I want you to go to asklynn.org.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you.
Well, hey, you know, we are always trying to give it to you real here on the Millionaires Roundtable. And guess what is real? The holidays. The holidays are finally here. And I know many of us are getting ready to visit our loved ones, or we are taking time off to enjoy this festive season. Either way, the reality is that while vacations are about making memories, they cost money. Whether you're planning a worldwide escapade or just a quick break, learning how to vacation on a budget may help you make memories without depleting your bank account. That's why I am so glad to have once again here Santos Borges, Community Manager at Chase. He's here to help us make more of our vacation budgets. Welcome back to the roundtable, Santos.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Lynn Richardson.
Yes, of course. I'm always so glad to have you here. Our listeners are always just so excited about hearing what it is that you have to say. So, you know, let's get right to it. So, Santos, what's the first step you would take to maximize our vacation time without blowing our budgets?
Yes. Thank you for that question. And it's so important. When I think of a vacation time without blowing our budget, the first thing that comes to mind is an inexpensive vacation starts with a clear vacation budget, right? Setting your budget early lets you choose destinations, activities, and accommodations with where you're comfortable spending. For the budget savvy traveler, successful vacations on a budget start with a few key things. Number one, it's going to be start early. Early bird deals are typically available before peak travel seasons. They offer significant savings on the major expenses in a vacation. And then also schedule your holiday travel as soon as possible. We all know that when we get closer to the holidays, the cost of vacationing goes up significantly. So we really want to schedule holiday travel as soon as possible. Second would be identifying fixed costs, right? When we think about fixed costs, I want you to think about the cost of flights and hotels. Understand your baseline. Set the foundation for your vacation budget. That's going to be really important. And then third, you want to estimate variable expenses. And when we talk about variable expenses, think about things like meals, entertainment, souvenirs, and anything else you may want while you're on vacation. And since these expenses are variable, the key is to set a ballpark figure that you can use in your calculation. It may also help you to overestimate on that budget for variable expenses, just in case something else came up. It was an unexpected expense. You're still able to take advantage of those opportunities.
All right. You know, I'm here with Santos Borges, community manager at Chase, chatting about ways to keep our vacation spending under control. So Santos, what are some things to keep in mind while choosing a budget-friendly vacation destination?
Yes. Great question. I would say destination choice is going to be a big factor, right? It's not just the ticket price. There's a lot of other factors that you want to consider when vacationing. One is going to be the cost of living. So the price of basics in your destination, this could be from goods to general shopping. This might factor in or weigh against your vacation budget. For example, a distant location may be costly for travel, but cheap to stay and enjoy yourself once you're there. Second would be local transportation. So the ease and cost of getting around will factor into your costs and your options for activities while you're there. I've been on several different vacations where some vacations I'm able to stay nearby everything. And then there's other vacations where I need to rent a car or Uber everywhere. So we really want to consider that local transportation. And then third, exchange rates. So keeping exchange rates in mind may help you find places when you travel, your budget goes a lot further. You don't want to go somewhere where the exchange fees are going to eat up a large chunk of your travel cash. So keeping exchange rates in mind is also something that's very important.
If you're just joining us, I'm here with Santos Borges from Chase. Santos, vacations aren't just about where you go, but what you do. Do you have any tips for finding fun and affordable activities?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. So there are a bunch of activities that can be fun without emptying your vacation budget. Some of the things I want you to consider are one, nature walks and hiking. Many natural attractions are readily accessible and free of charge. Things like local parks, trails or beaches can all offer an invigorating day without really tapping into your budget. Second, I would say local markets, from fresh produce to artisanal crafts, local markets offer a window into the local culture and often feature some more affordable shopping options as well. Third, another option I would say is really look into the museums and cultural centers. Many cities offer days when entry fees are waived or reduced, so researching and planning ahead of time may help with capitalizing on these opportunities and having a more enriching experience at minimal cost. And then lastly, I would say, as an extra tip, consider looking into package deals and activities. City tourist centers sometimes offer packages that include discounts or discounted rates on multiple outings or activities. Exploring the city's public transportation options may also yield a chance to potentially save on getting around from one activity to another.
Well, we are really getting a better understanding. I'm so excited about this. Thank you so much for always giving us the knowledge that we need to try to navigate our money in any situation. Santos, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
Yes, thank you. It's been a pleasure. The one last thing I'll leave you with is I want folks to remember that planning a vacation isn't always feasible, depending on your current financial situation. So if your dream vacation isn't in the cards this year, try integrating a vacation savings into your regular budgeting and savings habits so that you'll be able to go maybe next year. And then also, Chicago is also a fantastic vacation destination. If you can't travel for the holidays this year, try planning a staycation for you and your family. We have so many amazing and affordable activities right here at home. And then lastly, what I want to say is for more information on savings and budgeting, please visit chase.com/personal/financial-goals. And I'll say that one more time. For more info on savings and budgeting, please visit chase.com/personal/financial-goals. Thank you, Dr. Lynn Richardson.
Thank you so much, Santos, for always giving us the knowledge that we need. Wow. We're going to take these tips. Okay, everybody. Can't wait to have you back here. Thank you so much, Santos. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.